And you are very welcome back to Mario's Sunday Roast. I'm Mario Rosenstock and I'm delighted to be joined in studio by the great Paul Kimmage. How are you, Paul?
Morning, Mario.
How are you?
I'm very good.
Great, thanks for coming in. And the reason you came in is because we were kind of fishing around during the week and we were kind of talking about press conferences and we were kind of going, who's been a lot of pear-shaped press conferences? And we went, Kimmage has been at a few. So we said we'd give him a ring and we said, would he be interested in coming in and maybe doing a little rundown, a little list of maybe press conferences that had gone horribly wrong or press conferences that were sparky or bad-mouthed or irritable or stuff like that. And you've done that. And of course it comes in the wake. Isn't that right, Paul, of a press conference this week?
Yeah, Jim Acosta and Donald Trump, which I think most of the world has seen at this stage. And it was interesting for a lot of reasons. Do you want to start with that? Or what?
Yeah, but yeah. As a person who goes around with a thing around his neck and press accreditation,
okay.
I mean, would you presumably feel sympathy for Jim Acosta, or would you?
You would. Yeah, you'd have to. He's doing his job. I mean, our job is to hold people to account, truth to power, you know, and that's what he was doing with Donald Trump. And he's obviously, there's history there with CNN, his company, and it's Trump has been very hard on journalists. And basically, Jim decides he's not going to take it. You know, Trump is trying to spin something, and Costa's got some questions he wants answered. He's got a limited platform to do it. I mean, personally, I wouldn't ever ask questions at press conferences because you're only doing it for the benefit of the 70 or 80 other journalists who are in the room with you. So I try and get one-on-one. But yeah. In a situation like that, he's got to do it.
And you've got a great bullshit filter. And looking at Jim Acosta, you don't think he's a grandstander or anything, would you? Or do you think he's a pretty just good pro, just doing his job?
I would say so, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I understand there's been a couple of interesting pieces written about it this week and the aftermath of it, that he wasn't actually being a journalist, that he was deliberately trying to provoke Trump. And I see that, and I've done that myself. I mean, I think we're going to use the Armstrong clip here, where I actually went in there. I was going to bait this guy. That was my only intention.
All right, let's hear the clip with Jim Acosta.
You know what? That's not an invasion.
Honestly, I think you should let me run the country. You run CNN.
All right.
And if you did it well, your ratings would be much better.
If I may ask one other question. Mr. President, if I may ask one other question, are you worried?
That's enough. That's enough.
Mr. President, I was going to ask one of the other folks.
That's enough.
Pardon me, ma'am. Mr. President.
That's enough.
Mr. President, I had one other question, if I may ask, on the Russia investigation. Are you concerned that you may have...
I'm not concerned about anything with the Russian investigation because it's a hoax. That's enough. Put down the mic.
Mr. President, are you worried about indictments coming down in this investigation?
I'll tell you what, CNN should be ashamed of itself having you working for them. You are a rude, terrible person. You shouldn't be working for CNN. Go ahead.
I think that's unfair.
You're a very rude person. The way you treat Sarah Huckabee is horrible. And the way you treat other people are horrible. You shouldn't treat people that way. Go ahead.
In Jim's defense, I've traveled with him and watched him. He's a diligent reporter who busts his butt.
Well, I'm not a big fan of yours either, so
I understand.
To be honest.
So let me ask you a question, if I can. You repeatedly said...
You aren't the best.
Mr. President, you repeatedly, over the course
of... Okay, just sit down, please. Well, when you report fake news, no. When you report fake news, which CNN does a lot, you are the enemy of the people.
I love the second guy. I'm not a fan of yours either.
Yeah. Well, it was great that he stood up, actually, for Acosta, that his colleague actually stood up. And that's something that you don't actually see about that often.
And I don't think you're going to see it necessarily much in the future either.
Probably not.
And your experience...
My experience is not unlike, actually, Acosta's, in that he's asked a question that he knows Trump won't like. I asked a question that I knew Lance wouldn't like, and Trump has gone off him when I made it personal straight away. And he's, you know, I think it's interesting. I think Acosta was very respectful in the way he framed the question and the way he tried to continue the conversation, and Trump made it personal very quickly, moved the agenda, if you want, from what he was being asked to a personal attack on the journalist, which is what Lance did with me.
Paul, when you're in those press conferences, like that press conferences, and you're in that moment, how do you feel personally? I mean, the reason I'm asking you is the blood coursing through your veins? Are you on a high adrenaline? Are you very, very excitable? Or are you dead-faced and cold-faced? Are you going into this press conference going, I'm just going to ask the question and I know what the guy's going to say? Or are you absolutely pumped?
I was pumped. I mean,
your heart is beating.
I admire Acosta. He's clearly in control there.
Yeah.
Very measured, dispassionate. I wasn't. I knew I was going into the Lions den with this one, and so I was fired up for it. And yeah, and interesting because obviously there's been a big the follow up has been the accusation that Acosta then assaulted the intern and was trying to take the mic off
the doctored video and everything.
Yeah, which is outrageous, absolutely outrageous. Yeah. I didn't have the microphone, which is the one regret. So I asked the question. The mediator took the microphone off me, so I didn't have a chance to follow up.
Okay, and here it is.
Lance, you've spoken recently about the return of Evan Basso and Floyd Landis after their suspensions, and compared them to David Miller, and that they should be welcomed back in the way that David Miller was welcomed back. There was one obvious difference in that David Miller has been very pronounced in his anti-doping stance, where these guys have admitted to nothing. What is it about these dopers that you seem to admire so much?
Excuse me? What is your name again?
My name is Paul Kimmage. I work for the Sunday Times. I asked for an interview, but I didn't get one.
Right, and just as a little preface, I might just clear up one thing. The reason you didn't get it, Paul, I wanted to make sure that was you because I don't know what you look like. When I decided to come back for what I think is a very noble reason, you said, folks, the cancer has been in remission for 4 years, but our cancer has now returned, meaning me. I am here to fight this disease. I am here so that I don't have to deal with it, you don't have to deal with it, none of us have to deal with it, my children don't have to deal with it. But yet you said that I am the cancer, and the cancer is out of remission. So I think it goes without saying, no, we're not going to sit down and do an interview. And I don't think anybody in this room would sit down for that interview. You are not worth the chair that you're sitting on with a statement like that, with a disease that touches everybody around the world. And it's not admiring dopers or non-dopers. I admire these people as persons, as people, for what they stand for as men. Do we make mistakes, all of us? Absolutely. As a society, are we supposed to forgive and forget and let people get back to their job? Absolutely. I'm not sure I will ever forgive you for that statement. And I'm not sure that anybody around the world that has been affected by this disease will forgive you.
I'm interested in the cancer of doping in cycling. That's been my life's work. I raced as a professional. I exposed it. Then you come along and disappears.
Did you get any support from the journalists in the room that day?
No,
there was just left high and dry.
There weren't too many journalists in the room. They're all fans, really. And I was left high and dry. But when it finished, I was surrounded by three or four of them wanting to, you know, do follow ups. There was a couple of TV crews and stuff there. But the context of it was so I had applied several times to interview Armstrong, to sit him down and actually ask the questions I wanted to ask of him. And he made this big hullabaloo in Vanity Fair about his comeback and he was going to be open and transparent. So as a result of that, I made the application for the interview. I'd been torn down and that's why I went to the press conference, because that was my only means to actually get access to him was through the press conference. And so I was going to use that then to have a cut at him and just to let him know, well, okay, you think you can avoid. And he actually stopped. That was the last press conference. He wrote a Tour de France that year in 2009. His comeback tour, and he didn't do any public press comms. Everything was much more controlled as a result of what happened there.
No.
Which was a small victory.
We must move on. The third clip involves you indirectly as well, because it involves Vincent Brown, and you worked with Vincent Brown.
Yeah, he was definitely a mentor.
In the Trib, was it?
In the Tribune, yeah. I started, but I wouldn't have been in journalism. It was Vincent that gave me my start, and who I learned most about the business from, and has been a hero of mine for, well, ever since, really, yeah.
Okay. And this is Vincent in full flight with, I think his name was Klaus Mazouk, and I don't think Klaus Mazouk knew what it was going, what kind of character that he was getting into bed with here.
He had an idea pretty quick, I think.
He did, and this was the ECB guy, Klaus Mazouk, being interrogated by Vincent Brown.
I think I have addressed the question.
No, you haven't addressed the question because you've referred to the viability of the Irish financial institutions. This financial institution I'm talking about is defunct. It's over, it's finished. Now, why are the Irish people required, under threat from the ECB, why are the Irish people required to pay billions to unguaranteed bondholders under threat to the ECB? You didn't answer the question the last time, so maybe you'd answer it this time.
Well, I think he doesn't have anything to add to what he's already said.
This isn't good enough. You people are intervening in this society, causing huge damage by requiring us to make payments, not for the benefit of anybody in Ireland, but for the benefit of European financial institutions. Now, could you explain why the Irish people are inflicted with this burden?
Well, I think I have addressed the question.
You've nothing to say. There's no answer. Is that right? Is that it? No answer?
I have given an answer.
He's given an answer.
You have given an answer that doesn't address the question.
That's your view.
That is my view, and I think it would be the view of the taxi driver and the view of our viewers tonight.
Right. Actually, it would be quite interesting if Trump or if Vincent worked for CNN. It would really kick off then.
It would be interesting. But, there you have the classic fight, if you want. You've got the journalist who wants an answer, who's holding truth to power, and the Klaus and his handler there who want to evade that question, and he just won't let it go. And it's just brilliant, and it was great actually. He was very fortunate that he was able to hold on to that microphone, and he didn't have someone trying to pull it off him. That he was allowed actually to continue, which was great.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay, we have one more from Nigel Pearson, the Leicester City manager. Any knowledge of this guy?
I don't know this. I haven't heard. I know of him. Yeah, I know he's a Fergie character.
I know you're quite. Because I remember seeing you with one of your colleagues. Was it Vincent? In an FAI press conference, you're just hanging around, and the guys aren't even coming in to do the press conference.
Oh, that was after the All Ireland this year. Yeah, Jim Gavin made his way for 30 minutes before he came in.
Yes, they wouldn't even bother.
Yeah.
And here's a particularly prickly Nigel Pearson in action.
Well, Ian, have you been on holiday for 6 months? Have you? Have you been away for 6 months?
I'm not quite sure what specific purposes you were.
Well, I think you must have been either head in the clouds, away on holiday, or reporting on a different team. If you don't know the answer to that question, then I think you are an ostrich. Well, your head must be in the sand. Is your head in the sand?
It's not so.
Are you flexible enough to get your head in the sand?
Probably not.
My suspicion would be no.
Probably not.
I can, you can't. You don't know at what
I don't know how you've taken that question there, because...
Well, you must be very stupid. I'm sorry.
Thanks, Nigel. See you tomorrow.
No, don't thank me.
Yeah, see, I would want a bit more from the journalist in that situation.
Yeah, a little more balls.
I definitely, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, that's disappointing because, certainly with me, if Pearson said that to me, I would definitely take it to him, you know. I wouldn't sit there and listen to that. If he's made, I understand, Pearson possibly had a valid point to make, maybe a criticism that had been made him, a question that had been asked, wasn't that well informed? And I get that. In that scenario, the journalist is going to say, okay, sorry, no, you're right. But you can't just sit there and listen to this abuse and let this fellow abuse him without actually acknowledging the fact that he was wrong or that what he's asked is unfair. You have to understand, I do understand that when you go into these press conferences and you ask these questions that, the guy isn't always going to like it. The person you're asking isn't always going to like it, and he's going to react in a certain way. So you've got to try to be fair insofar as that's possible. But if he makes it personal, then, you've got to, defend yourself and defend your profession and your right to ask these questions.
Paul Kimmage, survivor of numerous fracas in numerous press conferences in the future and in the past. Thank you very much for coming in to talk to me. And I know you want to talk to me again about Roger Federer.
Yes.
And we don't have time for that now, but I will give you an airing.
Okay.
And you will never, ever be able to supplant my love for Roger, no matter how much you want to get at him. Go to a press conference all you want, but you'll never get him. He's too polite. He's too nice. And you're never going to stop me from loving Roger Federer. Paul Kimmage, I love you as well. Thank you very much for coming in. Good day to you. And after the break, Michael Harding.
Mario Sunday Roast on Today FM
with AvantCards.ie. Get Ireland's first made-for-you personal loan rates.